A day of unrest in Afghanistan's capital began with a fatal road accident involving a US military convoy and culminated in a march of protest. Some headed for Kabul's parliament and presidential palace, smashing windows and looting shops on the way. Others forced their way past a police cordon to the heavily fortified US embassy in Kabul.
We want America out of this country! We hate America! They have no responsibility! Their army drunk and they're driving on the roads, killing innocent people!
The fuse for the trouble was lit when a US military convoy plowed into a dozen or so vehicles, killing at least one person. During rioting that erupted in response, shots were fired into the crowds. At least seven people are said to have been killed and 40 wounded in the clashes. Police and US troops say they fired into the air. It's not immediately clear who fired the deadly shots into the crowd. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Dozens have been killed in bombings across Iraq as the country's leaders struggle to agree who should head the defense and interior ministries. In the bloodiest of at least nine incidents, a car bomb aimed at an Iraqi army patrol in a Sunni Muslim district of northern Baghdad killed at least 12 people, most of them students. In the small town of Khalis, about 80 kilometers north of the capital, 11 people died when a bomb went off aboard a bus taking laborers to work. A spokesperson for an Iranian exiled opposition group said the dead were employees on their way to the group's base. In the southern city of Basra, two British soldiers were killed in a suspected roadside bomb attack. Two other troops suffered minor injuries. As the violence rages on, the posts of interior and defence ministers remain unfilled. The interior ministry job is particularly controversial. The previous incumbent was accused of failing to halt Shiite death squads operating among the police. Michelle Kulal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
International aid has begun arriving, but Indonesian officials say a lot more is needed for the victims of the Java Island earthquake. Over 100,000 have been left homeless by Saturday's devastating tremor. Many have been sleeping out in the open, an experience made more miserable by rain. Malaysian aid volunteers say they're bringing in supplies for the injured, now crowding hospitals.
We are bringing medicines and also medical supplies for the hospitals based on the request from the hospital in Yogyakarta.
The quake destroyed an estimated 35,000 homes in and around the city of Yogyakarta. There's little hope now of finding any more survivors beneath the rubble. Indonesia's government has declared a state of emergency. Relief and reconstruction will cost an estimated $107 million. Paul Chapman, Reuters. Streets of East Timor's capital, Dili, the atmosphere is tense following a weekend of violence, but at least the situation is now calm once more. Violence erupted as gangs loosely allied to factions of the police or army went on a spree of looting and arson. The trouble was sparked by the sacking last month of nearly half of the 1,200-strong army after they publicly protested against alleged discrimination. Residents said things seemed to be returning to normal.
It begins under control, slowly.
I see.
But inside, in the roads, they have no police.
No.
Okay. The small gangs just have a full occasion to act during the night. Like this.
The government is holding crisis talks amid rumours of a split between President Shana Gushmao and the Prime Minister Mari Alkatiri. The President is appealing for calm. He's said to be pushing for the country's army and police to be disarmed and returned to their barracks, leaving foreign troops in control until a full inquiry is held into the rebellion. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
By Javanese standards, this wedding was a Spartan ceremony, but all the more poignant just days after the devastating earthquake that ravaged the Indonesian island. This couple's marriage offered a much-needed symbol of hope to a broken community. The newlyweds gave away food to their neighbours who have lost their homes and belongings. The couple have no immediate plans for the future other than fixing up their own house, which was also damaged by the quake. Both want the government to step up relief efforts so they, along with the rest of their community, can rebuild their lives. The quake, measuring 6.3 on the Richter scale, struck Yogyakarta early on Saturday. Thousands have been killed and injured, and fears are still circulating that a nearby rumbling volcano may erupt. Michelle Lala Furi, Reuters.
Returned by a landslide, Colombians reward hardline President Álvaro Uribe with a second term with 62% of the vote.
Compatriots, may the Lord and Mary, the Holy Mother, help us so that this democratic decision be useful to this great nation.
There will be relief at the White House. Uribe is a key American ally. While the rest of the region leans to the left, he's cracked down on Marxist guerrillas, right-wing militias, and cocaine traffickers, delivering security after 43 years of bloodshed and crime.
Adelante, Colombia!
The closest of five defeated candidates, Senator Carlos Gaviria, urged him to focus on closing the extreme divide between rich and poor.
Today's historical result not only doesn't dishearten us, it multiplies our enthusiasm, our strength and resolve to triumph many times over.
President Uribe's emphatic victory was celebrated in typical Latin American fashion in the streets, which are much safer now. Susan Flory, Reuters. The pontiff walked alone around Auschwitz, nerve center of a huge complex serving Hitler's final solution of wiping out European Jews. It was a highly symbolic visit by the German-born Benedict. He said a prayer in front of a reconstruction of the execution wall where Nazis lined up and shot dead thousands of prisoners. He lit a candle in their memory before meeting 32 survivors and moving on to Birkenau, site of the gas chambers German forces blew up when they fled at the end of the war. Benedict said it was difficult as a Christian and a German to speak from such a place of horror.
In un luogo come questo vengono meno le parole.
In a place like this, words fail. In the end, there can only be a dread silence, a silence which is itself a heartfelt cry to God. Why, Lord, did you remain silent? How could you tolerate all this?
Perché, Signore, hai taciuto?
He also spoke in his native tongue. Once again, the German language heard in these Nazi death camps, spoken in prayers for the Jewish dead. Susan Flory, Reuters. Not a shop dedicated to all things football, but a typical superstore in London. Aisles packed with World Cup merchandise. You can have a World Cup shave while sipping your morning tea out of a special soccer ball cup and a stronger themed brew later. The soccer fan demographic is huge and global, and manufacturers large and small want a slice of it.
Advertisers, brands suddenly go mad and completely want to attach themselves to that and be part of it. And that's where you'll see brands you've never heard of coming out of the woodwork.
On the box, there's no escaping the Hollywood-style ad productions from the tournament's 15 official sponsors. The big names have forked out about $25 million for the privilege, and industry experts say their advertising spend can be 2 to 3 times that. But the official sponsor of the England team says the numbers more than stack up.
We know that figures like 25 million people watched England-Portugal in Euro. We know that 94 million extra pints of lager are drunk during the tournament.
The ads took months to produce. Many feature the biggest stars of the game. They're all slick and some are funny.
Goal!
World Cup kickoff is June 9th with host Germany facing Costa Rica. Susan Florey, Reuters.
The Titanic plunged to the bottom of the sea nearly a century ago, but the lore of the unsinkable ship that sank on its maiden voyage is as strong as ever. Four bronze plates from the lifeboats that carried the survivors to safety are up for grabs at an auction in New York, and experts say they could go for tens of thousands of dollars.
There's certainly the possibility that if two or three people get involved in the bidding that they could go well over $100,000.
The Titanic sank in 1912 after hitting an iceberg en route to New York. More than 1,500 people died. Other Titanic artifacts up for sale next week include a detailed deck plan and White Star Line brochures. Decades after the disaster, Titanic is still tugging at the heart and purse strings of wealthy collectors. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Of crocodiles may bring to mind images of warm swamplands in Africa, America or Australia. But this fierce-looking croc is one of eight which is making itself at home in the English town of Oldhurst in Cambridgeshire. Farmer Andy Johnson imported the reptiles after being given the go-ahead to set up what's thought to be the UK's first crocodile farm.
A wonderful adult croc bite says his equivalent to someone dropping a car on your leg from 20 foot. Shatters a bone, and they tend to go in a roll, so they would remove a limb if he was bitten in a tight enclosure.
Not exactly reassuring news for the neighbours, but Johnson, who plans to breed the crocs for their meat, says he's keeping all eight in a secure enclosure. Although there's not much of a market for crocodile meat at the moment, Johnson is betting on that growing over the next decade as alternatives to traditional meat gain in popularity. Michelle Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.